All right. So, here, come stay over here. Actually, we want to talk, like anything important, Mass begins before Mass. And for the priest and the deacon, it begins by vesting. And so we put on the different vestments that are part of our different orders. So we begin with this piece of linen that is called the amice, or the amice. And it goes over top of your head. Not that you actually have to put it on like this, but I do because it reminds me what it's for. So it's intended to be put on as a kind of helmet, and it's about, you can think of it as keeping the noise and distractions out. And there's a little prayer that goes with each vestment. This one is, "Place, O Lord, on my head the helmet of salvation, that I may overcome the assaults of the devil." And it also has a very practical effect of keeping your sweat off of all the other vestments. So, the next vestment that the priest puts on and the deacon is called the alb, which simply means white, and it is this big white robe. Does anyone know the first time that we get this white robe? Baptism, that is right. So in fact, this robe represents the baptismal dignity that every Christian has. So as we put it on, we pray, "Purify me, O Lord, from all stain, and cleanse my heart, that washed in the blood of the Lamb, I may enjoy eternal delights." So you can also remember as you come into church that even if only spiritually, you can also put on your alb. This is a microphone pouch. It is not a liturgical vestment, but it's very helpful. This is the cord, or the, we call it the cincture, that goes around the waist. And we pray as we put it on, "Gird me, O Lord, with the cincture of purity, and quench in my heart the fires of concupiscence, that the virtues of continence and chastity may remain in me." Now, up to this point, the deacon and the priest vest the same, but then comes the stole. The stole represents the different authority or power that we have in our office. So you'll see that when the deacon puts on his stole, and we pray as we put it on, "Restore unto me, O Lord, the stole of immortality, which was lost to me by the sin of my first parents. And although I am unworthy to enter into these sacred mysteries, grant me nevertheless eternal joy." So you'll see the deacon's kind of goes across his body, because the deacon's special role is charity. And so the symbolism there is that he has an arm free to go serve somebody, whereas the priest just hangs straight down. And you'll see we kiss the top of that because it has a little cross on it, and you always kiss the cross. So then comes the outer garment. Then comes the microphone. Pardon me.
Which also is not a liturgical vestment.
Yes. But I do add a vesting prayer for it as well. I say, "May it not be my voice which is heard in these sacred mysteries, Lord, but yours." Okay, so then comes the outer vestment. For the deacon, that is called the dalmatic, and for the priest, it is called the chasuble. And you'll see, as Deacon Greg puts his on, that the dalmatic has sleeves. And that is because in the ancient world, sleeves designated someone who serves, and that's what the deacon does. Of course, there are different types of chasubles. This is Gothic. Father David and Father Norton used to wear, or still do wear, Roman style, but it's all the same thing. So it represents charity, and it's, you say, "Lord Jesus, you said, my yoke is sweet and my burden light. Grant that I may bear it so as to merit thy grace." So that is what we do in the sacristy to get ready for Mass. And that may seem like not a very relevant thing to you all who come to Mass, but really it is, because it reminds us that each one of us is called to prepare ourselves for Mass. Thanks, Mark. So, you know, when you're here, when you're coming here in the car on the way to Mass, you too can be thinking about what St. Paul says about putting on the armor of God and how to prepare. You know, so often we don't get much out of Mass or other things because we don't have ourselves in the right frame of mind. So just as we vest to prepare our minds and our bodies for the sacred liturgy, all of us are called to prepare ourselves as we come to Mass. So, now, just to go over a couple of things before we get into it here. What is the very first thing that we do at the beginning of Mass? Who knows? I know you didn't know this was an interactive homily, but it is. I expect you to know something about the liturgy here. You're here every Sunday. What is the first thing that we do at Mass? Singing. That's right. It is singing. Whoever said singing has it right. Because that is, so why is that? Why is singing such a big deal in the liturgy? Because it has that symbolism of we are uniting our voices, right? Our voices blend, they harmonize, they become one. Sing a new song to the Lord, says the psalm. And that is what we are doing when we sing in the liturgy. So that's actually the first thing that we do at Mass. And then comes what? The entrance procession. And again, processing is a big part of the Mass. In fact, there are several other processions that happen during Mass. There's the gospel procession, there's the offertory procession, there's the communion procession. And in other liturgies, we have other processions as well. Why is that a big deal? Because it reminds us that we are going somewhere in this life, right? Hopefully to heaven. We are a pilgrim people, that life is a journey, and we are on that journey. So every time you see, you know, if we could all do it in a easy fashion, we would maybe all walk into church in the entrance procession. That would be pretty cumbersome, and that's why we don't usually do it that way. But you could. Like, when you see the ministers and the priest and the deacon come down the aisle, you should think, now we're entering in to the house of God, which is not just building, but it is the church, it is the body of Christ, right? Now we're entering in to the Mass. So that's what the procession means. The procession, of course, is always led by the crucifix, led by Christ, led also by candles, which represent Christ, the light of the world. So, the entrance procession comes in. We all get up here, and those of us who are not carrying something, genuflect to our Lord in the tabernacle. That, of course, is the great sign of love, worship, and respect that we always do when we come into church. Then the priest and the deacon go up and kiss the altar, because, you know, the altar also is a sign of Christ. And then to their places. So, we finally come now to what we normally think of as the beginning of Mass, and that is just two quick things. I'm going to save the rest of the introductory rites to the regular homily. But the first thing that we always do once we get everybody in our places and the music is finished is, of course, the sign of the cross. Now, we often forget how important the sign of the cross is. The sign of the cross comes, of course, from Scripture, from the story of Christ and his death, and even the names of the Holy Trinity, right? It's both a gesture that we're making of the cross, but also the repetition of the divine names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of that comes from Scripture. But at the same time, of course, nowhere in the Bible do you find the word Trinity. The understanding that all three persons of the Trinity are co-equally God was defined a couple centuries later in one of the big church councils. So the sign of the cross is really a beautiful blending of both Scripture and tradition. It reminds us of the very heart and center of our faith, Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. And so you can kind of think of that gesture as like a wrapping ourselves in God, wrapping ourselves in the Holy Trinity to prepare ourselves for Mass. And then comes another important part of the Mass, really, which is the dialogue, the opening dialogue between the priest and the people. The Lord be with you is, you know, there's several different options there. They all actually come out of the Scriptures. But that dialogue is really important, actually. You know, we hear that one in particular at very significant moments of Mass, the beginning of Mass, before the gospel, before the Eucharistic prayer, and before the final blessing. We'll hear that, the Lord be with you. But the thing that we have to remember there is, remember that passage where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, if that's true for all of us who are Christians, then it's especially true at Mass. Because at Mass, the priest acts, as we say, in the person of Christ the head, in persona Christi capitis, which means that Christ as both head and body, the congregation, is here. And when they speak to each other, there is a kind of sacramental reality going on there. Not like quite like the seven sacraments, but still sacramental. It really makes present Jesus Christ as both body and head, the whole Christ, in that beautiful dialogue between the priest and the people. And so, you know, when the priest says that, call to mind, that's what we should call to mind, that we are bringing ourselves into the body of Christ, into the presence of Christ, that He is really with us, because He is present in the people, just as He is present in the priest, and just as He is present in the Word, and just as He is present in the Eucharist. I mean, of course, all these things are slightly different, and most important is His presence in the Eucharist. He is substantially present. But in all of those ways, at Mass, Jesus Christ is present. And so the introductory dialogue reminds us of the presence of Christ, we as members of His body. So, that is just the very beginning of Mass, but you'll see that really, especially the beginning of Mass, is just jam-packed with meaning. So we're going to go ahead and start Mass now, and as we go through the Mass, you know, be thinking of that, be looking at things with new eyes, asking questions, why do we do that? And maybe either today or next Sunday, you'll get that question answered.